making me giddy.
Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good night, good morning, and good day. And welcome to another episode of the You Podcast, episode number 47. Doesn't look like we're going to make it to the 50-50 through various reasons, because it's fast coming upon us now. And logically it wouldn't make sense, considering we've had to record on the night of the 50th. And if it was going to be the 50th episode, it wouldn't go out in time anyway. So...
We admit our failure,
and we apologise profusely.
We haven't failed yet.
No, I know, but I've got a few episodes to put out as well.
Not yet.
Anyway, introductions. I am David. It is me, that bloke over there, and the unimportant one, but sitting to my right, stroking the head of the fuzzy bastard. And that's not a euphemism, by the way. It's Clary Lou Who with her views. And what views do you have? We shall find out. But first...
Hello.
Hello. How are you, by the way?
I'm all right.
Has your week been okay so far?
Not bad.
Pity about the weather, eh?
Yes, but we do have a genius daughter, so that's all good. There,
yes. A little bit of inside baseball. Our sister. Our daughter rocks at reading and writing.
Yes.
But anyway, on to the news. We've had a bit of influx of Doctor Who recently on the old telly box. We've had The Science of Doctor Who with Brian Cox, which is alright.
But I enjoyed it.
Pretty much just served as a standard Christmas selection rather than an actual about Doctor Who.
I liked it.
I liked the Christmas lecture.
Mm.
And it just felt like it was tacked on to Doctor Who. It would have been lovely as a lovely educational bit. As a weekly thing, that would be amazing. You know, I would like a bit of Brian Cox. You love a bit of Cox every week, don't you? We all do. Anyway, and then we had the Ultimate Guide, which was on Sunday, where we played the game of Wig Not Wig with Matt Smith. And this episode, with the little special inserts of Doctor and Clara... Although we will play Eyebrows Not Eyebrows with Jenna Coleman, who had the biggest, thickest pair of caterpillars on her forehead I've seen so far.
Notice.
Yeah, well, she had some brutal big ones there. But these recent inserts definitely count as a wig moment. So he's been shooting a lot of interstitial stuff.
Bless him.
The Ultimate Guy was not bad. No, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. A bit very vox poppy and talky heady. But I like that sort of thing. I like my biggest... It's not a guilty pleasure, but one of my favourite things is to watch the 100 greatest blankiest blanks.
Yeah, there hasn't been one of them on for ages.
Yeah. I think
they should do a Doctor Who one.
Yes, 100 greatest blankiest blank Doctor Who thingies. But they had John Coleshaw, noted British impressionist. Strange enough, what's his name? Al Murray.
Yeah,
he was very knowledgeable. It surprised me actually how much he was well informed he was. And McFly and certain other DJs and personalities that you didn't seem to quite know.
Like Mick Busted.
Oh God, Adam, let's not talk about that.
Busted.
There's something. Mick Busted makes me feel good.
Oh dear.
That's right. You set them up, I'll knock them out of the park. It was all right, I suppose.
Yeah, it was okay.
We've previously talked about Night of the Doctor, and then a little bit of funny thing happened recently. It was today, it was released as of recording, this is the 20th of November, and as of recording, it was released on the iTunes the last day. This caused a bit of controversy because it's free to the old Americans, but for some reason, us Brits
had to pay
the price of what seemed to be what might be measly to some, but £2.50 for what is basically a 1 minute mini-sode,
mm-hmm.
No, thank you. We found the free. I think it's on YouTube and Vimeo and all sorts now.
I got it via a certain thing on Facebook.
If you're a Doctor Who fan and you belong to certain Doctor Who groups, you'll know where to find it. You'll have already seen it by now. It was okay, I suppose. It was first person from very much like the RoboCop when RoboCop's been.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it yet.
It's supposed to be like a little bird's eye view of some
you're not
guy.
Supposed to understand it yet.
Well, I don't think you're ever going to really understand it because it's not really going to. It's during the Time War.
Mm-hmm. You don't know if Moffat.
Spoilers, by the way. Yeah, you don't know Moffat, but. It's around a rookie recruit who has been sent to this the quote-unquote safest place on Gallifrey during the Time War. And it's all shown through his recordings or perspective.
Yeah.
Now, they're taken through his training, and they show him like little things which could make him hallucinate for some reason, which seem to be very important.
Weird.
And there was, you know, this... Mm-hmm. And he's the rookie, don't scare him, blah, 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 this is a safe place in Gallifrey. Words of doom, if ever there were one.
This ship will not sink.
I know, the heads up there. Yeah. This ship will not sink, you know. It's all right to go out today, Yoko, that sort of thing, you know.
Ooh. Harsh.
I think I'll take in a show. Or my name's not Abraham Lincoln.
Ouch!
But no, it's one of the, you know, prophetic words of doom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll never get an attack through here. Don't you worry about it. Oh, look through that viewfinder.
No. Look,
not even a single Dalek will cause bother. Look at that little small single dot in the distance. Go and zoom on it. It's probably a bird or something. Yeah. Oh no!
It's a Dalek.
It's a Dalek. Kaboom, the end.
Nothing, and whatever it is, doesn't do anything, goes, no, it is a Dalek.
It is a Dalek, and then they all attack, and kaboom, the end.
Can I just say...
Not worth £2.50, I can... I'll tell you that.
Please prove us wrong if you have indeed paid the...
If you have actually bought this item, please feel free to email us at yoohoopodcast@yahoo.co.uk or tell us on the Facebook page or via Twitter so we can mock you and point at you and say this is what happens when you don't wait for things. If you pay the £250 and you feel it's no big impact, then more power to you. Don't worry about it. We are just being a bit silly. Having a
you
bit
are.
Of a laugh. We're having a bit of a laugh. Oh, you're still mocking and pointing, eh?
No.
Didn't sound like it. No. Quite you. Moving on, I suppose, to the meat and indeed the bones of this episode is a little debate I'd like to have. And it concerns the old versus new. Now, I bumped into a fellow a couple of days ago, and... He claimed himself to be a sci... No, not now. He claimed himself to be a sci-fi nut. And the first thing he made a big deal of pointing out was that he wasn't a big fan of Doctor Who nowadays. I was wondering where he meant, because it's been a couple of eras since 2005. So, I wonder what he meant, so I said. To sort of gauge where he was, I always use McGann as the...
Mm.
Middle as the it's, and it is probably used as the middle measuring stick to say, oh, so what, before McGann then? And he went, oh no, Bob White, Tom Baker and Peter Davis, and that was when I liked it.
Mm.
And it sort of made me think, and it gave me inspiration for an episode. I was like, does that mean Colin Baker, McCoy, McGann, Eccleston, Tennant, Smith, they've never got even a fair shake of the stick with you? Or did you gradually walk away?
Mm.
Or has it just not appealed to you? Or could it be... Could you be like a person who's just basically, I don't like anything new? Stick your fingers in your ears and go la, 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 la.
Or maybe he's just grown out of Doctor Who.
Maybe. Well, but this fellow couldn't be a huge fan of Babylon 5. And this also... The also person went on to state he'd been playing a Star Trek online game for four years. Now, someone who'd said they'd grown up Doctor Who cannot also be playing... Well, I suppose it could, but it doesn't seem logical that they were massive. They had the option. They were talking about the opportunity of collecting the Babylon 5 Plus movies box set, and not playing a online multiplayer game where they've been paying for 4 years for the privilege to pay, to play. It seems to be a funny old thing to do that, and then, but say you've grown out or cut out a certain part of your life, or feel like you've grown out of a certain area of it.
Well, Doctor Who was very different, though, to the
likes of... It's a funny thing, I suppose. It just seemed illogical to me. But I wonder if there's a large section of fans. Because Phil Cannon of the Who's He podcast has been doing a series of interviews, of which we were not involved. Thank you very much, Phil. I suppose that cheque I sent of 55p to you meant nothing. I'll have that back, thank you very much. I need that 55p, I really do. Yes, his interviews mention... it was a common question with all the people he interviewed was, do you see there's a cross-section of fans of a divide? One of old fans who will not refuse to recognise anything maybe post-1996. Shh! Benny. And vice versa, would there be a series of people who only know 2005 onwards? Like everything there, only seem to accept that there's three doctors. And seem to refuse to admit there's anything before that, or will refuse to look.
I think, rightly or wrongly, there is a section of people who only see Doctor Who as the last three doctors, and I think maybe that's cheesed off.
Shh, Penny.
Doctor Who fans. Who maybe is more into the classic Doctor Who. So I think it's made it more prevalent, their sort of concerns and whines about Doctor Who.
It just seemed... It was an important enough question for Phil to ask. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, you know... And I'd never really give it much thought. I thought, oh, it's just them... It's just, you know, crackerjacks online.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it is.
I'm not to say you're a crackerjack if you feel like that, but... It's just, you know, it seems like the extreme cases, the people who refuse to either admit one thing or the other, seem very scathing of the other side.
I think there will be, judging by some of the things I've read, I think there will be a new set of fans that are now going to be watching Doctor Who.
Oh, indubitably. In fact, one of my biggest things is I find, it's a heartwarming thing, is I've come across various... DVD reviews of classic stories from what sound like no more than 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they're talking quite authoritatively on the subject. It warms the cockles of the old valves to know that there's, you know, kids who like say, oh, this is my, I like this doctor, you know, I like this story. Part three, not so good, blah, 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 the acting, you know, Philip Hinchcliffe, you know, Robert Holmes, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, look at him. Look at him. He's a little. He's only a little toddler, but he's running around telling me what he knows about Doctor Who. He's probably forgotten more than I know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's brilliant. I love that. So there is that good side, I suppose. It seemed to acknowledge both sides, I suppose.
Do you not think, though, that as well, with Peter Capaldi coming in, some of the stuff that I've read, a lot of people are almost a bit smug.
Yes.
And they're saying, oh, I'm watching it, I'm going to start, you know, it's going to be better and ha ha ha.
Now that Capaldi's on, I've got hope for the series now because it's gone. Yeah, conversely to what I think about the fangirls, or the quote unquote apparent fangirls,
I think it is linked though, and I think it's the reaction to this that is causing a divide.
A lot of people are not seeing the fangirl, you know, the quote-unquote fangirls, I'm having to be very careful here, a reaction to it. But there's also the converse, the opposite side of the coin, is that there's a lot of smug old school fans,
mm-hmm.
claiming they can go back to Doctor Who now because it's not being overrun by youthful playboys.
Yeah.
And although I will say that I don't think Tennant and Eccleston were exactly spring chickens when they took the role. They're younger and handsomer than their counterparts, I suppose, but...
Compared to Capaldi, compared to
Baker, compared to McCoy, you know, all that sort of chuffins, but...
I'm trying to think how old Colin Baker was when he took the role.
I'd say he looked like in his late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, I don't think he was terrifically that much older than...
The 18 months it spent in hiatus, in between like series 20-odd to Trial of the Time Lord, was not kind on poor Colin. Well, he's in probably manufacture of his own thing, because he put on a considerable amount of weight.
But his first episode, though, he actually looked more fresh-faced than Eccleston.
Yes, I would say so. But that might be the magic of old makeup, because when you see that close-up of him saying, there's not a moment too soon.
Yeah.
In the Case of Androsani, which we might come back to in a bit of a conversation later on.
Mm.
But it looks like he's very heavily caked with makeup. I'd say maybe he was a bit late 30s, early 40s, if I had to guess. But I don't know the facts. Probably there's someone shouting at this thing going, he was blibbity blue, you blibbity blue idiots. Go on. Sorry, you've seen.
But I mean, look at Peter Davison.
He must have been late 20s, early 30s when he took the role. I think 29.
So it's not like this has never happened.
Yes.
Maybe it's the storylines and the way they've taken it. Because they used to sort of, the bit of eye candy assistants.
Yeah, the Leelas and the Tegan, not
Tegan. But all of a sudden, they're getting quite...
soap opera-y kind of elements, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's got the more romance.
Well, my answer to that is, okay, Rusty went a bit over the top with a lot of the, soap opera.
Mm.
But times change, you know, a little bit. You're going to have to accept that.
I'm not saying it's a wrong thing.
I'm putting this in general address. I wasn't actually referring to, using that to you.
Mm.
But I was thinking, you're going to have to accept that things, the style of storytelling has changed from 1976 to 2005. You know, and I don't,
and then Russell T. Davis's defence, that I personally think the story between Riversong and the Doctor was just as romantically written as what Russell T. Davis did.
Stephen Moffat, you mean?
No, I'm saying in Russell T. Davis's defence, it's not him that just wrote.
Oh, right, I see, yes, as romantic and...
Yeah.
But it didn't seem as puppy dog.
Moffat did as well.
He wrote from the experience... I think a lot of people took to the Riversong more because it had that feeling of a married couple, a bit more like a couple that they were used to each other's thing rather than the fledgling, I'm touching your hand but I shouldn't, sort of feel of a relationship, or should I put me up, should I yawn and put my arm around her, that sort of feel to it, which sort of can make a lot of older audiences maybe feel a bit uncomfortable, I guess.
Mm. I think it worked a bit more as well because even though the chemistry was good,
mm-hmm.
the age gap with Billy Piper...
didn't seem as suspect. I think that, regardless of Tennant and Piper's age, because he was like mid to late 30s. He was mid-30s when he took the role, and Piper was 19, 20, early 20s.
Yeah, I would say.
So, it's a bit of an age gap.
Yeah.
But also, you're supposed to lump in on with that the fact that he's supposed to be 900-odd years old.
You can't really think like that, though. Because if you think like that, then he wouldn't be able to be with anybody. Anybody who's with would be horrific.
Yeah, I know. That's a way of counter-arguing that, I guess. So, that's cool.
I think it was more of the way Billy Piper dressed. In her attitude as well.
She felt like a young kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, a young teenager, almost still With a job, but still immature.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, but you're saying...
More like... You know how we get some girls that have a crush on the teacher?
But it's like... you get the feeling it's like the teacher's creepily reciprocating it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got Don't Stand So Close to Me going through my head right now. Of which you don't want Sting going through your head at any particular time. And he's a tantric boy, you'll be out there for hours.
But, you know, I don't... Like I say, though, the chemistry was good.
Mm.
And a lot of people loved the Rose Tennant.
Yeah, they shipped it hard, I think is the common parlance of today.
Yes.
Which didn't need to ship too hard, because it... I imagine shipping takes some sort of element of imagination. Because people ship...
The good stories, probably.
Jesus Christ, that was an evil fart. Benny.
I was going
to
say...
Jesus, my eyes are burning. Oh, that's staying in. That's comedy gold, that shit. I suffer for you, listeners. Oh, if only we could add some sort of crazy sound effect. Like a whack whack.
Stop wafting your head.
I waft away. Oh, stand down wind, you little fat bastard. Oof. Oh, I'm making me giddy.
Oh, don't. But...
Call back. Yes, shipping is when people sort of put the thing together of, like, say... Holmes and
some of
Watson.
It's creepy.
Yeah, some of it's very creepy. Some of it's picking something that putting a bit too much on the relationship, which is probably chased at best.
Yes.
We've talked about this.
We have.
But there's that sort of element to it. So there's people saying, "Oh, Rose and Doctor Forever, yay." And in their little head canon, they can still have that because they've still got 10.5. They're sitting at home doing the shopping with Rose in Bavel Bay.
Yes.
Where were we? We're getting off the beaten track there. New versus old. What was your point with that?
I think they're quite linked because I think in the new generation of fans. Who haven't watched, or maybe aren't quite as interested in the classic Doctor Who, I think maybe it's the older fans, the reason it's become more prevalent, you know, that they've got concerns and they're sort of more vocal in their concerns now, is a reaction to that.
Interesting.
Because it's a bit like this, I've been watching this for years. You know,
why is everybody making kissy faces at each other?
You can, you know, like, you can't say you're the biggest fan of Doctor Who if you've only seen, like, a quarter of it.
And refuse to...
Yeah.
Yeah. And refuse to...
I'm not saying that's my personal opinion, but that has been vocalised.
If you're a fan
a lot.
Of a sports team, you're a fan of that sports team. Mm-hmm. You can't say I'm only a fan of the sports team from 1967 to 1978.
Yeah.
Because that's when they won all the trophies. That seems remarkably choppy change of you.
Yeah. That's like being a Newcastle fan.
Geordie talk now. Pat Masterson, listen closely.
and somebody saying, Jackie Milburn, legend.
Jackie Milburn, famous goal scorer in the 50s for Newcastle United.
And that person going, who's he?
Who's he?
Oh, yes!
It's like if you two Newcastle fans were talking. And some said, my favourite is Jackie Milburn. And the other one said, who's that guy?
Yeah.
You could expect that they wouldn't. I mean, it's what's like the time your nephew, Connor, called Keegan. Kevin Keegan, noted manager of Newcastle United, who brought a lot of popularity and fame to Newcastle United, was crap. because he wasn't doing very well on his second stint as manager of the club. Damn near broke his grandfather's heart.
I hope none of my family ever.
They'll never hear this again. Well, but it's the truth. It's what happened.
Yes.
But Geordie talk here on Yoo-Hoo Podcast. it's that perception of what you know at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But if they knew more, they would be like, say, oh, maybe I was a bit harsh to judge this person in the first place.
But then the flip side is, younger people could say, well, just because I don't know who Jackie Milburn is, doesn't mean that I don't go every week, cheer on
the team.
Newcastle,
yeah.
And basically
commiserate after every weekend when we lose.
You know, that doesn't mean that me standing there and supporting Newcastle it's not less relevant.
Mm. Well, I mean, I talk to you a lot.
I'm putting money into the club.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm buying the merchandise.
Yeah, yeah.
I get enjoyment out of it.
Yes.
You know, I come away from football matches, gutted when we lose, just as much as you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, heartbreaking stuff. If you only have to read my Twitter feed on a match day to know exactly how I feel at that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
You, not so much. You sort of keep calm until the end and then say, that was crap or that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get that. That makes sense. If you put it in sporting terms, mm-hmm. it does work like that. But at the same time, you go, if you knew that a little bit more about that era, that would help you.
It would help you, but it doesn't mean that the person...
You're not a fan. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, the Newcastle reference again, you could get somebody that says, well, I like you, I like Kabay. He's rather...
Johan Kabay, noted French international and footballer for Newcastle United.
He's rather fit.
Mm.
I would like to get to know him better.
Come in and know me better, man. Ew. But sexy. Sorry, go on, carry on.
That doesn't mean that they're not watching the rest of the football match just because they're like,
right. Now we're getting on a different thing. But if you were to speak to a certain sports team, say, Miami Dolphins fan. If this is one for the American fans. The Miami Dolphins are very, very good in the late 80s, thanks to the abilities of Mr. Dan Marino. If you were to say, I'm only a fan of the Dolphins from 87 to the early 90s, I don't care about them now. In fact, I refuse to watch them.
Mm.
Wouldn't you say, bad fan, go to your room and think about what you did? It's
that's
a funny old thing. It's a
funny. Different.
It's a, yeah. It is completely different, but it's
could
also
be
the same thing.
As glory hunting.
But
that's not if glory. How can you glory hunt with Doctor Who?
Because the golden era, 66 to 81 was a nadir, or the absolute almost zenith era of Doctor Who, the most popular of its time. I mean, that's not a takeaway from Billy Hartnell.
Mm.
And he did launch a show and did well, but once Paddy Troughton took over, it was all up and up and up, and it never came down until Multicoloured Joseph and his Technicolour Nightmare took over. I mean, I'd say it was even on a downward trajectory with Davison. A lot of people stick up for Davison, but I think that's retconning. I think he was a lot of people. I don't think maybe they freaked out as much, say, Tennant to Smith. But I think there was a lot of time when people, like, I've been watching Tom Baker for God knows how long.
Uh-huh.
This floppy-haired mop. Who's this guy? So, you know, maybe that's that, there's that sort of feeling of the time. But as far as I know, from people I've heard, nobody seems to have been that bad about the era.
So surely the younger people would want, if that is the complete golden era... And that's the most relevant era of Doctor Who. Surely the younger fans would, if they wanted to sort of cash in on it, would be more interested in that era then.
I'd like to think, because I've said this before, but I find Classic Who to be the warmest blanket on a cold Saturday night. I tell you.
I think you like what you like, and in a way I can kind of... Well, not understand
it. I mean, what, I've got to say, it took me a while, like.
But, yeah. But, what? I mean, now, with younger people now as well, they're used to more technological advances as well.
And straight to the point story as well.
Yeah. So, maybe some of the effects in Classic Who wouldn't have the same nostalgia or effect than what they would on older people that are watching Classic
Maybe there
Who.
Should be a disclaimer for newer fans to say, you know, warning, the following effects should not be taken as seriously as in Modern Who. Please be advised that they may be rubbery monsters or toy tanks.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not the fact that it's people dropping off Doctor Who or an influx of new fans that don't deserve to be fans. Maybe it's Doctor Who is evolving.
You have to, we'll have to open it up to that debate. We'll have to open up to that debate that maybe you can't define a fan, you never will be able to define a fan because there's a fan of certain things. And that's fine, but also at the same time, if you feel like someone's being particularly disparaging a particular era, but knows absolutely bugger all about it, you've got every right to say you're being a bad fan.
Are people disparaging to it?
I think a lot of people may be disparaging to, say, Colin Baker and McCoy, because everybody knows that as the, being the, you know, the latter part of Doctor Who in the first in its first incarnation.
Well, I don't know, because I think, bless him, Colin Baker, I think you're right about Sylvester McCoy. I think Colin Baker personally was a bit shortchanged in some of the writing.
He was buggered with the arse with no lube, I tell you.
So I can understand why some people maybe is not as, I'm trying to be diplomatic, maybe he's not as keen on that. But we've been watching a bit more McCoy lately.
Oh, loving some me some McCoy right now.
Yeah.
Battlefield. I mean, you may not be your particular favourite of Doctor Who. It most likely won't, because it's McCoy. But I can't recommend Battlefield enough, because I just find it so bloody enjoyable. It's got Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart in it,
woo-hoo,
with his gravitas and everything. It's got the Doctor with his sleight of hand and the Dark Doctor, who knows more than he's letting on.
I like Curse of Fenric.
Got to love Curse of Fenric. I mean, we see it time and time again over nearly every three or four episodes. But Curse of Fenric's amazing. I love me some Dark Doctor, you know, I love me some scheming goblin McCoy. With his sleight of hand and his booming thing, his booming voice.
I suppose I can empathise a little bit, because I'm not that big a fan of a lot of the Peter...
Yeah.
It's an era.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be disparaging about it.
No, I mean, I thought...
It's just not as much my cup of tea.
Well, we here at the Youth Podcast are not the best fans of Peter Davison's time in the TARDIS. You've probably noticed...
He needed a bit of more salt on his celery.
Yes. Ooh, boom. I like it. Salt on the celery. I like it.
A bit more...
Yes. He needed more cows. Hands up the cow's arse. He needed more...
Good, but...
He needed more scrape to his small creatures.
Oh, dear.
I'm reaching. Help me out. But I think... But we're never going to find the answer. But it's a question that's worth asking. If you feel like you have any opinion on it, please, by all means, you know, contact us. And mostly on the Facebook page, because we welcome all opinions. And we would love to have a discussion with you about this. Because if you feel it is more opinion... No, Who fans? Because I'm pretty sure. I was going to say young Jeff Waddell. You'd probably be very pleased to be described as young. Jeff Waddell, the Scottish Chelsea fan, is very much of. It seems very much in the time of Classic Who.
Mm-hmm.
Although he watches Modern Who, he doesn't seem very keen as he would when he was watching.
But he's still giving it a go.
And he's still giving it a good shot. God bless you, you mad bastard. But I'm only kidding. We love you, Jeff. But it's, you know, you get that sense that he's sort of one of that entrenched era. Although we're not who you were talking about, Jeff. So don't worry about it.
I know, because he's not.
He's not that kind of guy.
No.
But there's a molding there. There's something there. Mm. It's something of that type you see, especially going back to the guy I spoke to, which was he seemed like very. I don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I mean, I used to speak to people who used to watch Doctor. You know. I used to have friends, who, and I said, oh, and you sort of have a passing interest and wouldn't know about Doctor Who, like Doctor Who. Particularly a fan of Quatermass, for instance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the writings of, what's his name now, Robert Rankin. So it's very quirky, very British, very eccentric. So, but when the modern Doctor Who came on, he just didn't seem to want to know.
I don't think it's as quirky as it was. That's not a
No, I'm thinking on, but
I think it has changed.
I mean, this was the Eccleston era I was talking to about.
Even with Eccleston era, it did change.
It's got quirkier since Eccleston.
Yeah.
But I think that the guy was lost. I don't think he was ever gonna pay attention to it.
And maybe it's that generally are some people who grew up with Doctor Who, they've got nostalgic about it. But maybe it's when they've gone into adulthood. Mm-hmm. Maybe they class it as more as their childhood.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. But I think the answer is there is no answer to this, really, is there?
And that's why it's so...
It's so much fun.
Such a brilliant program.
It's fun to bitch about. It's fun to be happy about. It's fun to enjoy. With
everybody gets different things from different eras.
We're
of
coming
Doctor
to
Who.
This Dear the Doctor, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just sit back, kick ass, and love it. Well, we can. Hashtag save the day.
I've just had a good idea for a program.
Go ahead.
What they should do?
Hit me.
Because you know how he said about the blankiest blanks.
Yes, 100 blankiest blanks.
Yeah. Well, they should do the top 50 episodes of Doctor Who is voted for.
Ooh, I like it.
50 for 50.
All Vox Pops, no actual episode soon, because we could be there a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50 for 50.
50 for 50.
Which we're not going to be able to make fulfill.
Oh.
Ooh, us.
Oh.
I know. Oh. Sorry to leave it. I think the episode's coming to an end on a sort of slightly disappointing point. But I like that. BBC, if you are listening, which you are most probably not, and if you're, you're laughing at us while you count our... license fee, payers' money. A top 50 blankiest blanks stories, least good to good, because let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Voted for by, I don't know, let's throw it out to everybody, not just Radio Times, because they'll just vote David Tennant for all 50, even though he's only done so many episodes.
Yeah.
Rose, incidentally, Radio Times declared Billy Piper and David Tennant is the most popular Doctor and Companion.
That shocks me to the core.
It shocks me to the core. I'm disappointed that it's so easy that... I mean, Rose... It's just... Who do you remember best?
Sarah
Jane? Hello? Barbara? Ian? I mean, okay...
I'm sorry, that does cheese
again,
me off
a Time and again, it's proven without a shadow of a doubt that Ten is a popular Doctor. But popular does not mean good. It's what you like.
Yeah, but that does kind of go to what I was saying before.
In 1999 to 2001, The Matrix was consistently voted the greatest movie of all time. It means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That's fine. If you like David Tennant, you love David Tennant. I think he's a great Doctor. I think he's a great, good actor in certain things. But if your dad doesn't think so, oh my God, he does a great impression. We've got to get that.
If we can get
a YouTube channel open, we've got to get a picture of him saying that is David Tennant impression.
It is actually quite good.
Well, he just looks startled. But that's by the by.
But that does kind of go along with what I said before.
Yeah.
And especially with you, you know, about reactions, I think the fans' reactions to Tennant, if had you reacted to that,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost, well, not spoiled, but I think tarnished the tenant era of Doctor Who.
I think he's a good Doctor, and
you've
I think
said
he's
that
has.
Before.
I'm going to be fair, rather than be me usual dickheaded self, which is quite often him with the opinions and all that. He's a good Doctor, and he's a decent, done a decent time, and he was very popular, and the show catapulted into the stratosphere as far as terms of popularity.
But people's opinions and what's been said about him has, I think, affected your...
Yes, but I was going somewhere with that, but I can't remember
Sorry.
Where I was going. No, that's fine. It's my own fault. I have been drinking, everybody. Yeah, he deserves some sort of recognition for being that Doctor who did that at that time. But to win by such a considerable margin is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, by about 46% or something. Tom Baker didn't get... No, Patrick Troughton... I'm not turning this into Matt Smith versus David Tennant, because I love me some Matt Smith, and I enjoyed David Tennant during his time. But it took Matt Smith for me to notice what I was missing out of David Tennant.
Yeah.
And that's no thing on David Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's disappointing to me. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with the results. The results don't lie. That's what they are. But I feel it's disappointing that it's that popular.
We automatically think, I know who have been voting.
But there's people that will argue that. It's one of them unanswerable questions, because you can't poll. I mean, there was YouGov.co.uk, which is a independent polling site, which does random things like, what's your favourite noodles, or who's your favourite of Roger and Freddy. Freddy all the way. But, you know, it's and that was more independent and had more of an age range and showed different age groups of people who answered the questions. And that had a tenant as a significant winner.
Yeah.
And I can't dispute it. It's what he is. Why would I deny it? It is what it is. And he is popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like... Well, it's like, I'll go back to the early argument about The Matrix. You know, Matrix is consistently voted as the most greatest film of all time. There is people who go to pay money to see the scary movie franchises, or Meet the Spartans, or Date Movie, or Superhero Movie, Epic Movie, and so on and so forth. These movies keep being made.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason why they're still being made, is because they're popular enough to still being made, despite people saying, oh, they suck. So there's enough people that keep going to their movies to say, oh, they're brilliant. I'm going to go to the next blanky-blank movie. Vampires suck, you know, Dracula dead and loving it, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which I suppose I'm going to myself, popular doesn't mean good. But I suppose I'm giving this a bit more thought than I should be.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to make it some sort of paranoid fanboy ranting as of people who believe that their doctor's the best.
To be perfectly honest,
it just doesn't feel right somehow.
I'm more disturbed that Rose has been voted the most
exactly,
popular companion.
I wanted to get away from Tennant because I know I went off and rambled.
Because I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's not.
She isn't.
Not by some considerable
And I know, you know, it is personal opinion, but come on.
There's been so many good companions before her. And it doesn't have to be because it's not a soap opera thing or she didn't show cry all the time. I don't know. But I think it's one of the unanswerable questions, isn't it?
But at the end of the day,
it is
everybody's
it is.
Entitled to their own opinion.
Yes, of course.
And that, I think with the point you were making with the films is, they're popular, but it doesn't mean to say that people go to see them and think, oh, they're brilliant, or they're popular. They're just, a lot of people think, you know what, I don't want to think. I just want to go at the pictures, have a laugh.
Feel your soul just, die, you know what, inch by inch.
You know what I mean?
No.
I don't want to. I want to have a relaxed laugh.
Mm.
I don't want to go at the pictures and come out and get, whoa.
Yeah, but you want.
You don't have to be touched by things to enjoy them.
I don't know about that.
Hey.
I get your point. Sometimes you do want to have a brain switch off moment, but there's action. There's summer movies for that. I mean, they have to be halfway competent for it to be a success.
Mm.
But that's. I mean, we're getting into a whole area, so I'm going to back away from this subject, and I think we're going to call an end to this episode. And I think that'll do it for now. We've been running a nice little decent time. I had a good little chat there. Anything? Any final thoughts?
As long as you like Doctor Who, enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. So basically...
I keep saying that.
I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, as long as you love Doctor Who.
Who cares what brought you in? Stay.
Slinky. And I think that'll do it for this week. We've been the Who Who Podcast. This has been episode number 47. Len. And we bid you a farewell, a good night, a good evening, and a good luck. We love you loads forever. Goodbye.
Bye. Laters, baby.